True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you, getting you ready for a Monday, recapping a busy weekend of football. Pretty disappointing weekend of football for us here in this part of the world, but we'll take you through all of it. The Chiefs fall, K-State falls. We're going to have some insight in both of those topics today. Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joins us in just a few minutes here. And later in the show, Josh Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network is going to stop by. And we'll talk about it all. We've got a lot to get to today. The Royals are spiraling a bit here. We'll try to get to some Royals baseball. We'll get to it tomorrow for sure. Jalen Thompson is going to join us, our Royals insider. Today, though, it'll be mostly a football focus. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza. It's topped with sliced, cubed, deli-cut pepperoni, pepperoni now available in a lunch or full-size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Jacob Albrock here alongside Tommy Caster. Max Power should be returning soon. Who knows where Max ended up in the world right now? There's no telling, but we'll get him back soon. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It was a busy, filled football weekend yesterday. Had a chance to watch basically NFL football all day long, which was a lot of fun. First time I've been able to do that. I couldn't do that in week one. So that was fun. Final weekend of the Kansas State Fair. I was up there on Friday. You were there on Saturday. It was a busy weekend.
Yeah, I was up there. I got Tuesday and Saturday. Thanks to everybody who stopped by the WSU takeover of the fair on Saturday to say hi. Had some fun with Mike Kennedy, some of the coaches. We're getting excited, man. It's you know, we're in the middle of it for Shocker Athletics, but you know, that of course that winter season is the one that we get the most run out of here. But we'll get there. It is football season. I'm with you. I couldn't do it in week one, Tommy. Yesterday I got closer, still not quite there to what I like, my ideal Sunday with the NFL, but it was real close. Got to see most of it. And that included the Kansas City Chiefs falling 20-17 to the Eagles. We're going to dig way into this today. But I got to tell you, I would have never expected the Chiefs to outgain the Eagles in this game. And we're talking about two of the mainstays of this dynasty as sort of the micro, the reason, of course, a Kelce dropped pass that turns into an interception and a Butker missed field goal, as to how the Chiefs could have easily won this game. That exists. That dynamic exists. But the bigger dynamic is, how good are the Chiefs right now? And I think alongside how good are the Chiefs right now, Tommy, comes how good will the Chiefs be when it matters the most this season? I think they're there's a lot of layers to comb through when you try to answer those questions. I think the answer is very different, quite frankly, to each one of those questions. But a 2017 loss to the Eagles nonetheless means an 0-2 start for the Chiefs now, and we'll see what the Chargers do tonight, or the Raiders, quite frankly. But, you know, they're gonna be looking up at somebody a couple of games back to open the year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was one of those games that I think we've become accustomed to where there were so many frustrating moments in that game. And you look back on it and you look at the final score and you're like, man, how is it so close? Because there were so many different things that happened where you're like, man, this team just, they look awful. They don't look like a potential contender. They don't look like a team that can make another deep run. And then the final score is a 3-point spread at the end of the day, where there were a couple minor things here and there. You know, the major discourse nationally, I'm sure, is going to be surrounding the tush push and, you know, the way that the referees, you know, didn't call penalties or whatever. That's not, I said this on social media last night, that's not why the Chiefs lost the game. It didn't help. It was frustrating. You know, it was a tough day for all the Chiefs get all the calls people out there, because the Chiefs got none of the calls yesterday. It certainly didn't help, but that's not the reason why the Chiefs lost the game. The Eagles executed better, and there were multiple times where they didn't look particularly good either.
Like that 216 yards of offense.
But when it mattered the most, they executed a timely interception in the end zone, the ball that bounced off of Kelce's hands. And, you know, at the end of the day, they did what they needed to do to go into Arrowhead and get that win. It's, the Eagles clearly have the Chiefs number right now. They have for a minute now. And going into Arrowhead and getting that win, that's, you know, you can hang that up on the wall if you're an Eagles fan.
Well, sure you can. And that's where I try with the Chiefs not to ever overreact to anything that we're seeing, right? Trying not to overreact to the fact that they only had one loss last year. It's clearly a flawed team. The fact that the year before they lost a bunch of games they shouldn't, but were not nearly as flawed probably as they were a year ago. Like, it's hard with the Chiefs because everybody is ready to make definitive statements about the Chiefs all the time, right? And we did this. This is nothing new. We did this with the Patriots. How many Tom Brady is done conversations were had during the middle of his run, and he did have a stretch in the middle, and then he went and won, what, five more after that? So, like, I it's hard with the Chiefs because they're always under the microscope. You can look around the NFL and see weird things that happen every week. Like, everybody loves the Broncos. The Broncos just lost yesterday to the Colts. We won't talk a lot about that when we talk about how the Chiefs dynasty may be over. Are we going to talk about that? Like, that we don't, and that's okay. That's what the Chiefs have earned that place for us in football. But I do think they are a very flawed team right now, much more so than we're used to, but in a different way than a year ago. And so, like, for me, I'm trying to look past that a little bit, because they should have won that game yesterday. Well, let's call it could have won that game yesterday. That's probably more fair. Against the defending champs and a team that you can make a case is the best team in football. That was a bad game for the Chiefs. And they are a dropped touchdown pass turned into interception / missed field goal from a guy that doesn't miss field goals away from potentially winning that game.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to, like, have both things.
Yeah, I think both things can absolutely be true. I mean, I think it can be true that this team is not particularly good right now.
Right.
Will this team be good by the end of the season? Probably. They'll probably be okay. And I don't exactly know what that means long term. I don't know, if you look at them as still a team that can win a championship. I mean, I think that's up for debate a little bit, but I think both things can be true at the same time. You can say the Chiefs did not play very well yesterday. They're not a very good team right now. And that doesn't mean that you're crucifying them for the end of the season. It doesn't mean that you're throwing out any hopes and dreams of what they can be in January or February by saying, hey, the first couple of weeks in September have not been particularly good for the Chiefs. I don't think you have to go super far in one direction and super far in the other. I don't think that it's, I don't think that in the same way that I've seen people out there that are like, this team isn't doing anything. This team is cooked. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not, you know, blah, blah, blah. In the same vein, I've also heard people that have said, yeah, forget about this. It's not that big of a deal. They're going to be fine. No, I think it's okay for it to be a big deal right now in this moment, in this context, but then also say they'll probably be okay. To what level? I'm not quite sure yet, but both things can be true.
It's so funny because we've done this, right? Last year, it was like, it's okay to say this team has problems, even yeah. though they've only lost one game. And the year before, it's okay to say, boy, if they can just get there, they're gonna have a real good, like, it's always that way. But when you're talking about the team that is dominating the headlines now for the last long time, we have to sort through some of that noise. We'll do that. Josh Briscoe will join us later in the program. When we return, though, boy, I don't know what positives you're taking away from K-State right now. Wyatt Thompson will join us, voice of the Wildcats, when we return to Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. We are joined now by the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. I don't know where to start. K-State falls 23-17 to Arizona, musters only 193 yards of offense, including only 88 yards through the air. I don't think we envision Arizona being a juggernaut defense this season. You know, I think we wondered for a long time through the first parts of the season. We're like, to me, the very clear and most pressing issue is this offense just is not very good. And I don't know how much better it's going to get or how much it's just that they're not playing well.
Well, you said a lot there, and I guess let's start with the offense, because for me personally, I think it is probably going to have to be starting up front. They just have not been good enough. They've been trying to mix and match and kind of figure out what the best personnel is. I'm not sure how you go about fixing it in basically a week here and then get into game week next week with UCF. But I just wonder out loud here if, and again, I'm it's just me thinking out loud here. Maybe you just try to pick your best five guys and stick with them for a while, because some have talked about Andrew Lane Gang moving, you know, one series he's the right guard, one series he's the right tackle. We've had the two transfer guys, Terrence Enos and JB Nelson, be in and out. Part of that, of course, is health. Some of that is, you know, trying to get Gus Hawkins, some reps and a chance. And I think it's just led to inconsistencies. But it isn't just that side. I think they have had trouble getting any push offensively in the run game from the get-go. So I would probably say that that's where you have to start, because let's be honest, games are won. You have to have good quarterbacking play to win in major college football, but you also have to win the line of scrimmage. And right now they're not doing that. And thus 1-3, and probably some would say pretty fortunate to be 1-3 actually.
Really the only major offensive play in that entire game, the very first play of the third quarter, and Jace Brown lines up his quarterback, takes it 75 yards. And I think that I probably had the same sort of reaction to that as most of the fan base did. Why can't they do that sort of thing all the time? That was the one explosive play offensively from this team. And yeah, it was a little bit of a trick play, a little bit of a different look, having a wide receiver line up his quarterback. But at this point, when you're 1-3, I would suggest moving forward, like, throw the playbook out the window and just start doing some crazy things to try to get a spark going.
Well, I think you said it. I think the fan base feels a lot like that too. And I think they have, you know, been disappointed with this offense in virtually every way. I mean, I think I said it to you guys last week. I mean, I think we're all hoping for more quarterback run game from Avery. That really hasn't happened necessarily. And he had the one play the other night, which really took even me by surprise, where he started to take off and wasn't in a dead sprint by any stretch, but he was really getting ready to go from third gear to fifth gear and just stopped and threw the ball. And it's like, man, I think it's frustrated everybody. The reality of it is, again, I go back to the run game and the push there. That means K-State hasn't been very good on first down. Third down has been a real problem for K-State on both sides of the ball through the first four games. Why not try to do that a little bit? I know you can't do it all the time, and I don't know that you get away from who you are, but there's the real question, right? Who is K-State offensively right now? Coach Klieman talked about that in postgame with us. Not sure what happened to, you know, the team that got ready for this season, identity-wise, but this isn't the team that I thought I saw prepare for this season, right, wrong, or indifferent, and I don't have all the answers as to why.
It's not the same team we thought we saw against Rutgers in the bowl game. I think there's been this weird narrative with Avery Johnson that they're refusing to run him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the case. And maybe it's both of these things, but you just brought it up. Like, there have been opportunities for run that he has not taken at all. And that does seem different this year. Don't know why that is. I don't know if it's by design from him or from the coaches, but it clearly changes this offense when he won't just take off and take the 20 or 25 yards when it's there. He's one of the most athletic players on the field, but it's not happening, not by design or by ad lib. So what changes that? Because the total number, this is the number one thing people ask. Why isn't Avery running? Well, Avery's running as much as he's ever run as a starter. His attempts per game, and it wasn't very high against Arizona, but going into the game, he runs the ball 7 to 10 times a game as a starter in college. That's it. That's all he's ever.
True.
That's what he's doing now, but it's not the same. We can all see that it's not the same. So what's been so different about it?
Well, I think it's as simple as I'm not trying to evade the question, but he's not running. And that means the defense doesn't necessarily have to account for that. And so you haven't had Dylan Edwards much. You do not have DJ Giddens, who, by the way, turns out he was pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where there's just not a lot of threat out there. I think your threat is basically Jace Brown and Avery occasionally. Is that fair? I'm not trying to be overly critical here, but I think that's kind of what it is. And yeah, it hurt to lose Dylan. It has hurt to lose Jerron Bradley. There's no doubt about that. But everybody deals with some sort of injury. And I think there have just been inconsistencies in the pass game also. And again, when you start lining it up here with Avery, the offensive line push, the run game, third down, first down, I mean, there's a lot out there. And I think I don't want to necessarily get away from the offense here, but I thought the defense fought, you know, they've been far from perfect too, but I think they've done a better job of late, you know, kind of adjusting to some things. Arizona really got them early in tempo and drove down and what have you. I think they made some adjustments and were much better against them in the second half, but you know, offensively, I mean, if you take the 30-ish yard runaway and then Jace's 75-yard run to start the third quarter, I mean, you're talking about 80 yards of offense. That's it.
And what? it's not real quick, Tommy. It's not like that's not a one-time thing.
Right, right.
Right. We've seen that lots of times this year now.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to remind fans, you know, how little K-State held the ball in the third quarter against Army. They did make a nice drive to win the game against North Dakota. They were certainly in a position that they could have won the Iowa State game. I think that's the other frustration here is, you know, K-State's prided itself for a long time on, you know, playing quality, high-level, tough football and having that edge and being physical in that. And I think people feel like they're not seeing a lot of that. So it's, you know, there's a lot to discuss with this football team and a lot of frustration.
What do we know about the status of Dylan Edwards? He didn't play after the first quarter. He had one nice run of 11 yards, but then limped off the field. And I know that, you know, obviously him coming back and being able to try to give it a go, in that game on Friday night. I think that excited a bunch of people, like, all right, maybe we've got our run game back a little bit here and we can get this going. Do we know what things look like for him moving forward?
The only thing I would say to that, Tommy, and it's a great question, I don't know that I have the perfect answer for you, but I would say this. The fact that they didn't take his helmet says to me that he was still available, and for whatever reason, the coaches stayed away from it. And I'm going to guess that you know, Dylan was, you know, probably nicked up again a little bit, and I think they're just like, okay, we've got to hold him now, give him a couple of weeks, and then maybe he'll be ready to go. That's just my thought.
Well, the only thing you can do is look forward. Yeah. None of this matters now. It's taken them out of some at-large consideration, certainly, for, you know, anything that they would want to do. But the Big 12 is in front of them. So, like, what's the mess? You got 2 weeks here to try to figure it out. This certainly does not look like a team at the moment that's going to compete in the Big 12. But we did see them play Iowa State really tight. So how do you get back closer to that and further away from what we've been seeing? And what do you think the messages this week will be? Because I'm sure it'll be a great psychology experiment as much as anything else for the coaches over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would think with the Friday night game, and I don't know this for a certainty, but I'm going to guess that a large portion of the weekend, the coaches were probably meeting and discussing and talking about, you know, now what do we do, right? I've had so many people ask me, and I'm sure they've asked you too, how do you fix it? Well, I don't think there are necessarily easy answers here, because this isn't just the offensive line, right? There's a lot of things out there, but you got it. Like you said, you got to move forward and yet learn from where you've been. And what does that mean? Well, let's see what we can do to improve the offensive line play. Is it possible? Yeah, probable. I don't know that I have the right answer for that, but I think we're going to find out. I'll say this, fellas, and some people may argue with me, and that's okay. That's what this is all about. But I still believe in my heart that this team has the capabilities of being a pretty darn good football team. Were we maybe overhyping them a little bit to start the year, and maybe they were more like, you know, upper middle or upper third of the league? Maybe. But I guess I would say that I just didn't see this coming with, you know, the issues with the line and with Avery and, you know, injuries and all of the issues that they've had. I mean, they've just not been real good in a lot of areas, and that's troubling, no question. So I don't think there are easy answers, but I think, you know, Chris Klieman and his staff will spend a lot of time trying to get this thing figured out. And when they hit the practice field again, let's be honest, I think they're going to find out who wants to be there and who wants to play. I guess I would start with that. Simply stated.
And let's,
you got to do that.
You have to. Let's talk about the guy in charge for a second, Chris Klieman. Obviously, he's, you know, he's tasked with the responsibility of trying to figure out what is going wrong with this team. You know, if you're on social media for any, you know, length of time at all, which, you know, it can be a negative thing for sure. I mean, there are people all over criticizing Chris Klieman. And of course, he had, you know, criticism after the press conference, after the Army game, and all of that. Where do you think his mindset is right now? I mean, obviously, it's get back to work and figure out what they need to do to turn things around. It's got to be pretty difficult to try to tune that noise out.
It's probably almost an impossibility in today's world. It's just kind of the way it is. It's so easy to criticize, and I understand it. You know, I've heard a lot of people say they're paying these guys, they should be better. I get that. You know, I think it's true. But I think with the paying of the athletes, I don't know that anybody really talked about this. It was all great for the kids, but is there a downside to the fact that means if you're not performing, there's more criticism? I think 100% that's true. Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think there's more criticism now than if it was 5 years ago and they'd have had these expectations and got out to this start? I don't know.
Yeah. And you could probably argue that either way, but, and I don't know what all of those young people make, but I think most of us would surmise that Avery's making good money, and I'm not blaming him in any way, shape, or form, right? But it is a different scenario now. And I guess I wonder out loud, you know, maybe I'm questioning, you know, the leadership. I think this is a group of pretty darn good kids for the most part, at least those who are front and center and give you the most snaps and what have you. It's hard for me to sit here and criticize like an Austin Romaine or a Des Purnell as an example in terms of how hard they play, how hard they work, all of those things. Have they been perfect? No. I think Austin would tell you the other night he missed a tackle on a really important play in the game, right? That happens. I'm just saying I think you're more open for criticism with that kind of stuff now. Maybe it's not a ton more, but it is some more.
It's at least different, right? Yeah, at least a different criticism. Avery's not playing well. I don't think anybody needs to dance around that. He's not making the throws that he's made for the first 2 years. I mean, physically, he looks better, I think, than he ever has. He's put on the weight, which means he's put in that work. Something seems timid or off. I don't know what it is either. But you figure it out. You got 2 weeks now because you're running out of time a little bit here.
Well, and I wonder, too, if it isn't just to the point where you're 1-3. You're still just 0-1 in the league, and you said that before. I mean, you've got most of this conference schedule ahead of you. Yes, it is a hard schedule, no question about that. You got TCU and Tech at home and road games at Kansas and Utah and Baylor and all of those kind of things. But so does everybody else. I think you just try to go back to square one and let's try to redefine and be who we are. I think I mentioned that in a show with you guys early on, Coach telling the kids before the Iowa State game that if we go be who we are, we'll be fine.
They better get there.
Sometimes it's harder to do that than you might think.
Yeah, well, clearly. And look,
Iowa State's same way, though. Right?
Never a better time for a bye week than right now before they play their next Big 12 game, because it is going to take a reset. I mean, no clearly doubt. That there's that's there. Wyatt, so nothing this week then. You guys get the week off as well. Emotionally, probably a pretty good thing. It's been a little draining, I'm sure, to be in your position right now as the voice of the Wildcats and to have to answer the billions of questions from fans trying to figure out what's going on here. We'll see if they can get it back on track. K-State plays again, but not until the 27th against UCF. It is a home game, and we'll see if they can get it turned back around. Wyatt, we appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Always appreciate those visits. You know, Tommy, it's kind of funny with what we were just talking about with the Chiefs. Is it they're not good now, but will be later? I think when we have that conversation with the Chiefs, there's so much to go there. But for K-State right now, I think the most troubling thing is where can you find, when you look at it, what's going to make them significantly better later? And to Wyatt's point, it probably is the offensive line to begin with. But Avery's got to play better too. And they do have to get Dylan Edwards back. And they have to become this explosive offense again that we fully expected them to be this year. But man, it's hard to put on any kind of rose-colored glasses. I mean, I don't think it's there. I think you can do it with the Chiefs and their slow start. I don't think you can do it right now with K-State.
Yeah, and on both sides of the ball, I mean, there are some major glaring issues. I mean, the fact that Noah Fifita from Arizona, he had a bunch of rushing yards, and he doesn't run the ball. Like that's not what he does in his game. And K-State let him run the ball, and he had I think it was like the most rushing yards he's ever had in a college game. There are clearly some major glaring issues that they've got to get figured out.
Boy, oh boy. All right, we've got other NFL headlines to get to. We're going to dig in further to the Chiefs. Just some breaking news here. Pretty monumental breaking news in the landscape of the NFL this season. We'll get that when we return at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
K Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Tommy, big day in the NFL yesterday. And big news this morning is we'll get back to the Chiefs. Reminder, Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network joins us in the next hour. Don't worry, Chiefs fans, lots of Chiefs talk. But the news that has come down in the last few minutes is the news that I think Bengals fans certainly fear, but I think NFL fans kind of feared this. Joe Burrow is going to have surgery. I mean, are we just simply calling this turf toe? It's a turf injury. It's a toe injury, I should say. Surgery out to, what, up to 3 months now for Joe Burrow?
A minimum of 3 months, according to Adam Schefter. It's turf toe, but he also had like some torn ligaments in his toe as well. Adam Schefter reporting that we're talking about a minimum of 3 months.
We were texting yesterday and I sent you this. Like, Joe Burrow's Andrew Luck. Like, it's criminal how the Bengals have let him play behind the line he's played behind his entire career. Guy has always taken way too many hits for a quarterback that does not run. And this is what we saw with Andrew Luck. And it ruined a guy who's got a chance to at least be, you know, one of those guys, right, all time. And Burrow has been hurt significant amounts of time now throughout his career. The crazy thing is the Bengals finally are not off to a slow start. They're 2-0, and that never happens for them. So it's a bummer. I hate it. Like, I love watching Burrow play. I think this sucks. But it is what it is. There are injuries in football. It's one of those things too, Tommy, as we look at it and we bring it back to the Chiefs. When I see the Chiefs yesterday, like, we can clearly look around the NFL right now and see teams that are better than the Chiefs are on September 15th, right? The Eagles, who we assumed weren't that much better, which was interesting. But, you know, the Bills are and the Ravens are, of course, and, you know, maybe the Chargers are. We'll see them play tonight. The 49ers don't have their quarterback, though. The Vikings, do you have them in there? Did you watch them play football last night?
Horrible.
The Bengals just lost their quarterback. There aren't a lot of them, right, that you can just look at and be like, oh, yeah, that team's way better than the Chiefs. There are some, but I think the reason that, like, for me, it's like, okay, this is going to be a rough 6 weeks. It is. But, man, it's probably I what did I say to you yesterday? By Halloween, this is going to be a very good team. I do think that. Obviously, things can derail that. But if the sequence of things that are supposed to happen between now and then happen, I do think this is going to be a good team. I will say that Travis Kelce's not as good this year so far as I thought he would be. And I think mostly it's just physical and him being older. He's just older, right? And I think his play thus far has really amplified not having Rashee Rice. And now in the short term, Xavier Worthy. Worthy will be back, but we don't even know what version of Worthy, right? Like, Worthy's going to have to play through a separated shoulder, which happens. Guys do it. Not typically at wide receiver, but we'll see how that limits him. But, you know, Kelce is not able to pick up as much slack as maybe I had hoped he'd be able to in the pass game. And so they are going to have to just limp through this thing in the pass game. I mean, I've never seen them try to force something as much as they were trying to force that deep ball to Thornton. But it was there several times. And so they're probably going to open it up. The thing I was most proud of yesterday with the Chiefs is they knew what they had to do. They had to run the ball. They weren't doing it wildly effectively, but they didn't get away from it. Even if you take away, which obviously Mahomes running the ball was highly effective, but even if you take that away, they ran the ball 19 times with their backs, Tommy, and they're just going to have to kind of commit to doing that a little bit. I don't know if their defense can hold up. My fear with it is that it won't, but it did yesterday against one of the best offenses in football. And I do think that's a good sign for their chances to at least get, you know, 2-3 wins out of these games before they start to get some of their firepower back.
Yeah, there's a lot to react to from everything you just said. I mean, I think that first off, from the running perspective, I felt like the running backs, I thought they did what they needed to do. That they're not, you know, they don't have Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley back there, but I felt like Kareem Hunt looked okay. I mean, he had a couple good runs that looked pretty solid. Where, you know, does he have a whole lot of juice left? You know, not a ton, but he's got enough, and he was able to get the job done. I thought Isaiah Pacheco looked, you know, pretty solid. At one point, I was pretty surprised that they handed the ball to Isaiah Pacheco three straight plays in a row. Like, that doesn't happen, but they did that. They didn't abandon the run. And Patrick Mahomes ran the ball phenomenally. At one point, that was the only offense the Chiefs had, was running the football from, you know, him pulling the ball down and running with it. That was the touchdown run and all of that. That was the only consistent offense that Kansas City had. Defensively, yeah, I mean, I feel like they hung on as best as they could in that game against a team that has really dynamic playmakers in the Philadelphia Eagles. They did the best that they could possibly do. And I was encouraged by the defense in that game. Without their efforts, that could have been a 2-touchdown game, if not more. They could have been completely blown out, and it would have looked a lot like the Super Bowl result from back in February. So I was pretty pleased by that. One thing that you did mention before, you said by Halloween, you think they'll be a pretty darn good team. I think by Halloween, they'll probably be okay, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to say that, like, oh yeah, they're going to continue to get better and better and better as each week goes on. This might very well be a team that, you know, we talk about, man, if they can just find their way into the playoffs, at that point, all bets are off, and then we can see what they can do. But I'm not ready yet to say that by Halloween, they're going to be like the switch is going to be flipped, and they're all of a sudden going to be this juggernaut.
Yeah, I don't think it's a switch flipping as much. And I do think the playoff thing exists as long as they generally stay where they are right now with health. The thing for Halloween for me is they'll start to get some players back. Worthy is the elephant in the room. I don't know what Worthy is able to do. Like, I don't think he's just going to get better, his shoulder. So whatever version of him we're going to see is what we're going to get. But they'll have Rice back, which we know will help Mahomes. And the line does look better. We're not all the way.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Way there yet with the line, but it looks better.
It looks right. Yeah, it looks better. You know, there's more. I would say consistency overall from top to bottom. Yeah. Having that anchor on the left side, I will say you mentioned Rashee Rice. I probably yesterday during the game have been the most angry at him.
Right, I know.
Than I have been. You know, like because like it's glaring. They desperately need him, and it's not like, you know, oh, ACL tear, he's going to be out for the season. No, this is like a result of his own actions. And right. he actively, with his absence, is harming the team. And so that's probably the moment that I'm watching them try to force deep balls to Tyquan Thornton and this check down Charlie offense that they don't really have any other choice but to do. And they're really trying to pepper, you know, Kareem Hunt to run the football and like all of that. I'm like, man, like, this was all avoidable with Rashee Rice. It was all freaking avoidable. And that was probably the most angry I've been at him from the beginning. When all this started, when he had that car accident and all of that, to now, I'm like, man, I hope you enjoyed that. Because now you're actively harming this team by not being able to play.
Yeah, and look, he got hurt last year. So we haven't seen him play in a very long time, but he had such a connection there. And now with Worthy hurt, especially, it's going to, you know, if this team the last 2 weeks had a healthy Xavier Worthy, it's very different. And wide receivers don't typically like individually impact things like that much. But for
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Them, they clearly do, because it opens up the offense a little bit, and because Kelsey's getting older, like that security blanket is no longer there. And I'm not just talking about the drop and the slower reaction. It's a lot of things that we kind of saw last year a little bit, I think, that are, you know, I had hoped would just go away because he changed his body type and did these things, but we're not seeing that so far.
Yeah. And what's frustrating about the whole Travis Kelce situation from yesterday's game is that, you know, the cameras catch him on the sideline at one point, you know, cussing and like, I'm tired of this and like whatever, with the lack of offensive production early in the game. And then you have a crucial, what should be a touchdown, and you can't put that in on anybody else but Travis Kelce. And I know Patrick Mahomes tried to own it in the press conference, because that's what he does. You know, talking about, oh, had I put it in a better, like, whatever. That's not true. The only person to blame on that is Travis Kelce. And so, like, those two things don't really compute in my mind. It's unfortunate. Like, it's unfortunate that, like, that sort of thing happens after he's the guy on the sideline that's getting angry and he's throwing his helmet and, like, we got to turn things around. We got to get things cleaned up. And then he's the one. I read a stat, by the way. I don't know if you saw this. I read a stat that dropped pass interception that resulted, according to the analytics, to a negative 7.5-point swing. Like, the winning percentage for the Chiefs, I think it went from like 53% before that play down to like 24% after that play. Like, that to me felt like the final nail in the coffin at that point. And you can't put that on anybody else but 87.
No, it wasn't a perfect throw. Here's what I'm
saying. It was a pretty darn good throw.
But Kelce also picked one up off the ground that was a bad throw from Mahomes. Mahomes is not playing amazing either. Mahomes missed one of those deep balls. It was wide open to Thornton. That was going to be a touchdown. That also swings those percentages. What if they score that touchdown, right? Like, it's all around. And I think Kelce's frustration is as much as at himself. I think he's frustrated at the entire unit. And obviously he's included in that, but the difference that he made to just like not only give Mahomes that security and that trust and make plays and make, you know, chicken salad out of, you know what, that is what is getting less frequent, I think. So yeah, if a pass is a split second too late on the cut, and I don't know, I'd have to go and ask Andy Reid and put him on a lie detector of where that throw needs to be and what time, right, to know that. But the reality is, it's just a play that Travis Kelce 2 or 3 years ago makes 100 times out of 100 times, whether the throw was on time or not. He makes the play anyway. And Mahomes is not crystal clear sharp right now. And there are a lot of reasons why, because he's running for, you know, he's doing all these different things. And he's also getting older too, right? Like it's all fine. They just like, there has to be an adjustment. And that's where young guys, dynamic, explosive guys like Rice and Worthy being gone, I think really get amplified. I mean, right now your offense is based on Travis Kelce, older player, Juju Smith-Schuster, older player, Patrick Mahomes, getting a little older, right? Not,
I mean, he's 29.
Not to the level of those guys, but he's also not 24 anymore. But it's all of those things. And it's Tyquan Thornton, a kind of a journeyman who does this one thing really well. Like, it's going to take a minute. And does Rice and Worthy fix all of those things? I actually think they fix a lot of them. And I don't know what we're going to see with Worthy. It will be very interesting to see how much Worthy can give them. Because if it's not much, we're going to see this a lot over the next few weeks. I mean, we just are. It's going to feel like last year, except you don't have that lucky bounce at the end of every game that puts you at 15-1. You lose some of those games like you did. Unlucky bounce off of Travis Kelce's hands, you don't win that game. That thing goes both ways, and we've seen it thus far this season. We'll have much more on the Chiefs coming up in the next hour. We will continue the conversations here on Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's all Brock and Casper on a Monday.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.